This is not going to be the reflection you were going to hear today, because I am not the person who was supposed to be here today. And I found out about 13 hours ago that I would be preaching this morning. So I humbly ask that you will forgive me for praying a sermon only slightly adjusted from a previous time, and that you will humbly pray with me and for me before this reflection. So please join me in a spirit of prayer. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and every day. Amen. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to people who have returned to Jerusalem after several generations of exile in Babylon. And they are trying to rebuild their homes, their city, and their temple. It's not going well. They spend each day surrounded by the ruins of their holy city, the ruins of the lives their grandparents told them about, in stories of what it used to be like before the Babylonian army came in and destroyed everything and hauled them away. Their surroundings were at least disheartening, if not downright depressing. And the prophet receives these words to share with the people, words that would have sparked memories of the stories of their ancestors in faith and their relationship with God. Living in houses they've built for themselves and eating food they have grown, those are echoes of Deuteronomy. People living as long as trees, familiar language to a student of Job, the wolf and the lamb, and the lion like the ox, and the serpent eating dust, those are borrowed from earlier in Isaiah and from Genesis. This imagery is a call to remember the relationship between God and the people, to remember with hope that God intends to lead the people and all of the cosmos to a better future. To remember, as Marjorie Suhaki writes, that God works with the world as it is in order to lead it to where it can be. I titled this sermon Participating in Paradox, partly because I like alliteration, but also because paradox is what this text is about. The state of being in the already and not yet. In a great commentary from 2013, Katie Givens Kime notes, in the Hebrew, the ambiguity of verb tense has prompted a wide variation in translations. God will create, God creates, God is creating, God is about to create new heavens and a new earth. The timing of God's new creation is ambiguous, a word that comes from the Latin ambo, meaning both. God's new creation is happening both now and in the future. Kime asserts that holding opposite truths in tension with one another, rather than accepting one and rejecting the other, it's one of the highest spiritual disciplines we can ever face. Isaiah holds the truth of hope for God's new and better realm, while acknowledging that the people are currently surrounded by chaotic ruin. The paradox in God's lofty promise in Isaiah, Kime states, is that all will be resolved, and that all is resolved. The world is and shall be bigger than all the limitations we encounter in ourselves, in others, and in the material universe of gravity, violence, aging, suffering, and injustice. The world is both broken and renewed. The people are both despondent and rejoicing. As we live in that both and already and not yet tension, we are participating in paradox. We aren't just sitting here waiting for everything to get better on its own. We can't. The prophet calls on us to build and plant and to work. The paradox here is that we are surrounded by circumstances that could easily lead us to believe that our efforts are pointless. And they certainly feel pointless some days. But we work with hope that what we do helps bring about the new heavens and new earth God is creating. The paradox is planning for the future and for future generations, even while we acknowledge that corporations and nations need to make changes to their environmental practices, or the earth will become uninhabitable within the next few generations. Participating in paradox means actively bringing hope to the people around us, even as we tell the painful truths of our complicity in systems of environmental destruction and violence and neglect. All who hear this prophecy, then and now, and all the generations in between, and all the generations yet to come, are called to act with hope that the new heavens and new earth are on the way. They are in the process of becoming. We are called to bring them into being in whatever small ways we can, so that others will experience the hope of the inbreaking of God's realm. Perhaps that is the most significant paradox in which we participate in this time. Living as citizens of God's realm, even as we live as citizens of this country. To be citizens of the whole cosmos, charged with the care of the whole cosmos, in a time where there is much pressure toward nationalism. Participating in the paradox of living, of faithful living, means working so that everyone can inhabit the houses they build and eat the produce they plant. Working to change the economic and political systems that benefit the few at the cost of the many. Kate Matthews notes that as a nation, we're spending hundreds of billions, no, trillions of dollars on our military, on wars and the possibilities of wars, and the cost of the destruction they bring. And then arguing over whether we can afford health insurance for our children and the most vulnerable among us. While health insurance CEOs are paid tens of millions of dollars every year, and if they fail, they get exit packages that would eradicate hunger in the very cities where they made their money. Participating in paradox means working to move from that injustice toward this peaceable kingdom described by the prophet. Let us find hope in these words from Isaiah. Let us move toward this revolutionary renewal, one step at a time. Mary Eleanor Johns expands on some of these individual steps. We are able to give one drink of cold water at a time. We are able to bring comfort to the poor and the wretched, one act of mercy or change at a time. One book given, one friendship claimed, one covenant of love, one can of beans, one moment of commendation, one confession of God's presence, but for the asking. One moment in which another person is humanized rather than objectified. One challenge to the set order that man maintains injustice. One declaration of the evil that is hiding in plain sight. One declaration that every person is a child of God. These acts accumulate within God's grace. May we all continue participating in paradox, as is our calling in relationship with God, who makes all things new.